The Department of Law, Mr. Attorney General.
Thank you. Good evening, sir. Which one of these microphones is the one that... This one? Or this one?
The one with the ground cord.
This one?
That one, yes. That one that you don't have to worry about.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, and ladies and gentlemen of the committee. This evening, in the interest of a fair, balanced, and unemotional presentation by the Department of Law, and for other considerations, I would like the permission of the chairman and the committee to have Deputy Attorney General Bruce Pitello to make this evening's remarks.
Mr. Chairman, I know that there was perhaps a degree of shock or whatever when we walked in with our charts tonight. Nevertheless, we intend to subject you to about 5 minutes worth, because I think it probably quickly will tell a story. Last night, we spent all of our time really talking about the criminal division. Before we can answer your question, where do we make the cuts, I think it's going to be somewhat helpful to know something about the civil division. You don't need to read this, but you've got to be able to tell the colors. And that really will be the story. Representative Jackson, I'm going to try and move this back a little farther here. And, that's what I can do, is just move in right here. The department's civil division is organized in two different ways. We have three major offices in the state: Juneau, Anchorage, and Fairbanks. We also operate four other offices in the state, single-person offices actually connected with DA's offices to do children's proceedings. In this case, Ketchikan, Nome, Bethel, and Kenai. The department, civil division, divides its work largely paralleling departments and state governments. So that when we're providing legal services, there's a particular section to which that department may relate. And in most cases, those sections that exist in Juneau are duplicated in Anchorage to a lesser extent in Fairbanks because of the relative roles or workloads. We have a commercial section both in Juneau and Anchorage. It relates to the Departments of Revenue and the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. And in addition, in Anchorage in particular, we have it relating to several of the quasi-independent corporations, Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and the like. Our governmental affairs section, which under a reorganization which took place last November under General Cole's direction, for the first time we actually have a governmental affairs section in Anchorage as well. This particular section is responsible for providing legal services to the Office of the Governor, the Lieutenant Governor, Department of Administration, Community Regional Affairs, the Department of Law, and frequently also is your lawyer in terms of providing legal advice about the fundamental operations of government. Our transportation section, again found in all three locations, Juneau, Anchorage, and Fairbanks, provides legal services to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, but also incidentally provides legal services to the Department of Education with respect to school construction, as an example. And in Anchorage, provides legal services to the Energy Authority. Our oil, gas, and mining section, located both in Juneau and Anchorage, as you know, relates primarily to two departments, the Department of Revenue and the Department of Natural Resources. These two sections are responsible for dealing with royalties and taxes, and also by statute is responsible for carrying out the Attorney General's responsibilities in monitoring federal pipeline proceedings in front of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Our Human Services section, which is found in all three locations, provides legal services to the Departments of Health and Social Services, Department of Labor, Department of Education, and with respect to the Department of Revenue Child Support Enforcement. Natural Resources, again, provides legal services to the Departments of Natural Resources, Fish and Game, and Environmental Conservation. One other change made in our reorganization was to create an environmental section in Anchorage, that section is composed of those lawyers who do exclusive work for environmental conservation and oil spill. In Juneau and Fairbanks, those same services for DEC are performed in the natural resources section. We have what we call our special litigation section. This is basically tort defense. The state is sued virtually weekly by some act of government or an individual, most typically clearing of roads in the wintertime, accidents caused by maintenance. This section is responsible for that tort defense. We have a statewide section located only in Anchorage. It's Fair Business Practices. It is, again, a reorganization, a combination of three functions, antitrust, consumer protection, and two lawyers and a paralegal who previously were part of our commercial section for the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. We group them because we see all of them to be dealing fundamentally with fair business practices. Two other sections to mention. Our Medicaid provider fraud unit, which began operation on January 1st, a fully federally funded program. It's located in Anchorage. We also have a welfare fraud unit, which is, again, I'll talk about funding in a moment, which has been in existence for a while. It is targeted at criminal prosecutions, but because federal guidelines is kept separate from the normal prosecutorial functions in the criminal division, and we've located it here. That's an overview of the division. The importance of the color coding for purposes of the instructions that we were given, which is to make cuts in the general fund, is this. Every place you see blue on this line, in this chart, each one of these represents an attorney position, you're talking about a general fund position. All yellow represents interagency receipts. In other words, attorneys who are funded from other than the general fund, they're coming, or they may be funded by the general fund, but are coming directed to us by receipts from other agencies. Examples that you would see here, we have transportation public facilities. All our lawyers in that section are funded by the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities by federal funding. We have other instances here in our commercial section. The Alaska Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund is an example. We have another one here, AHFC. Again, those are receipts that we're receiving to provide the legal services but are not general funds. Oil and gas are those that are identified in pink. Oil spill in orange. The green ones that you're seeing on here, and there's been a question before, how much are we moving towards paralegals? Each of the green boxes represents a paralegal position that we currently have in the department. What's the import of this? The import is that to the extent that you ask us to make reductions in our general fund expenditures, where we make those cuts are limited exclusively to the blue boxes, and they tend to come in three specific areas. They come in our governmental affairs section, they come in our human services section, and they come in our natural resources section. To the extent that you ask to make cuts, this is where we're required to make them. Another point to make is that today we have 44 positions which are general funded, four less than we had in 1979. As a matter of perspective. Okay, that's an overview of the civil division. With that, I'd like to turn to the question of where we intend to make the requisite cuts.
Representative Larson.
Yeah, just one question on the yellow dots. I think you said it. Those are program receipts.
Yes.
As other agencies are reduced, are they also going to be reducing some of the funding for those positions?
Most assuredly, we've been experiencing exactly that development even during this fiscal year. We've had three different agencies who, in trying to make and meet their budget cuts, have targeted their RSAs to the Department of Law as the primary targets for cuts. That's correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Battella, before you go into the cuts of potential cuts, do you have a handout that we might be able to follow along with, or are we going to follow you on the charts?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to request, if possible, that the committee simply follow what we have on the chart. So I think the next two charts will graphically demonstrate where we're going to make the cuts.
Okay, thank you.
You have the handout that we prepared yesterday, which I think just gives a general overview of where we are with respect to the governor's proposed budget. We've made no separate paper for tonight's presentation.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we didn't dismiss getting something that you might have had there. So thanks.
Representative McClain.
Yes, Mr. Attorney General, I have one question. One is, do you have any enactment legislation that may help reduce the Department of Law's budget?
May I have a moment?
To help reduce the budget.
Mr. Chairman, there are some suggested areas that we could target. Let me give you an example. One of the reasons for our staffing in human services has been the policy since, and I think actually by law, 1977, certainly a strong policy to accompany every social worker into court in dealing with child in need of aid cases. Prior to that time, it was customary for social workers to go into court unaccompanied, except in the most complex cases. I'm recommending the policy, but frankly, that is one area that the legislature could revisit if it wanted to look at cuts. We see a similar practice in terms of dealing on the criminal division side with one way of dealing with minor infractions and perhaps even misdemeanors. Not a desired policy, but that would be an area where legislative change might affect the caseload and the staffing of the department.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. Does this chart represent the current budget or the governor's FY93 budget or what exactly?
This represents the governor's 93 budget. If you were actually to look at this closely, you'd notice that there are two or three areas that are actually dotted, which indicate that they are part of the requested budget, but which at this point have not been funded.
And could you identify for us the positions that account for the $500,000 increase between the FY92 budget and the proposed budget in legal services operations?
Mr. Chairman, they are, to begin with, in governmental affairs, the addition of a legislative attorney. Job is, again, governmental affairs attorney's responsibility is to focus on legislation and regulations, and an associate attorney, Reed Paralegal, for the same function. It includes the funding for a deputy commissioner, located, of course, in the commissioner's office, the attorney general. We have and I'm just running through here, I may be identifying some that are not part of the general fund. Let me mention we've identified five oil and gas positions, two located here in Juneau, two more in our Anchorage section, and one in Fairbanks. We have the addition of two paralegals in our special litigation section, along with two attorneys, again funded by risk management. We have, and we have an AHFC position located in our commercial section. Mr. Chairman, I may have left one or two out, but I think that's the general.
Sure. Who did all the color?
We have a highly qualified staff, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mackey.
Actually, my comment was on the same line of Representative Brown's, that there are actually 18 new positions at $1.2 million added to the budget, to 93 budget over the 92 budget. Such things as a deputy commissioner at a cost of $121,000 for that one position, an attorney for whatever that is for $96,000, another attorney for $90,000, so on and so forth, totaling 18 new positions this year. Totaling $1.2 million. I was wondering if you can expand on that a little bit.
Sure.
At a time that we're trying to hold the line on new hires and reduced budgets, it seems that 18 new positions at over $1 million represents
a
significant increase.
I think it's a very important question, and I appreciate it being asked. It's also important to point out we're not talking about 18 attorney positions. We are talking about 18 positions. We also, but you are including in that, again, as an example, I'll start off with oil and gas. We've particularly targeted the importance of, first of all, bringing to conclusion our royalty litigation. It's scheduled, the main trial now is scheduled to start here next month, April 13th, but that's only the first phase. We go from there to phase two, which deals with what we call the excluded issues, gas valuation. We also have collections of the royalty in kind contracts, which is somewhat in excess of $300 million. And we have approximately $4 billion in assessments, actually a little more than that, identified by the Department of Revenue for tax collections. And it's the Attorney General's commitment, and in close cooperation with the Commissioner of Revenue over the next 2 to 3 years to, if not eliminate, certainly largely reduce the number of cases there. And the only way that's going to be accomplished is by putting more resources into it. That is the specific reason why we've been beefing up the oil and gas and mining section in Juneau and for the additions that we have in our Anchorage section. We have also, you'll see a position in natural resources Anchorage on this chart from a distance. It reflects the governor's commitment to pursue litigation against the federal government. This specific position is targeted at dealing with the oil export ban and other oil and gas related litigation connected with the initiatives the governor announced in the state of the state address. Going on, we have our risk management, two attorneys, two paralegals. Right now, the state tends to, the tradition has been to contract out for private law firms to defend the state and its tort claims brought against the state. Risk management and the department have both concluded that the state will save money by having more attorneys in-house undertaking that defense. And that is reflected by the addition of having two lawyers, two additional paralegals, as another example. I've mentioned over here the ALRF activities. It's, again, a collection function. You put a lawyer on, we had a choice. We could look for outside counsel. Frankly, our experience is that with the cost or the high fees being paid by law firms, that it is cheaper for us in terms of what a lawyer can bill, cheaper for us to have an attorney on full time than to allow a law firm to bill for 3 months' activity. And that, again, is reflected in the decisions to go ahead both with ALRF and AHFC. That's the kind of story here. I don't want to drag it out, but I'm glad to.
Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, you'd wish me to continue.
Yeah, Mr. Patil, I wasn't asking you to, you know, to have to go into that much detail. I know we have a lot to do here tonight. I just wanted to point it out that there is 18 new positions,
yes,
at a cost of $1.2 million that you're adding to the budget this year, and then we're turning around and asking you to cut several million dollars back out of the budget. It didn't seem to me to make a lot of sense. I guess on some of those cases that the Attorney General is, and I'm not trying to be highly critical, that he's trying to resolve, I can really appreciate that, but aren't we contracting any of the legal work to other people and so forth on a lot of these major cases anyway, in addition to all these new attorneys?
Mr. Chairman, we are definitely contracting out, and we're spending a lot of money for it. And part of the reason for having, there are two reasons. One, we argue for more people in-house. One is it's cheaper, and number two, the amount of monies we're dealing with, we need to have experienced lawyers in-house managing those contracts to make sure that there are proper billing practices in place, and number two, to make sure that the policies of the state are not being dictated by private law firms, but by the Attorney General.
Thank you. That's fine.
Any of those new positions for reapportionment?
None of them are. Mr. Chairman, if I may, let me go to the next part of the story, which I hope will get to the point. Where would we start making our cuts? You look at the civil division, and so we'll start with the civil division. Our judgment is that the cuts, and again I emphasize, the only place we can make the cuts to satisfy the directives that we've received are with respect to the 44 positions that are general funded. We would cut governmental affairs attorney each in Juneau and Anchorage. Again, that means a direct reduction of services to the Department of Administration, Department of Community and Regional Affairs, to the governor, lieutenant governor, and to you. We would cut next in our human services section one position in Juneau. I should point out that the Attorney General's priority in looking at this was to leave intact as much as possible the human services sections of the department. These are the sections that focus on family protection. These attorneys have seen an almost fourfold increase in their caseload in the last 5 to 6 years, and it's reflective perhaps of a heightened community awareness, perhaps partly more social upheaval. The fact of the matter is that these people are on the line every day, and it's not an area where we're prepared to make major cuts, at least in our major centers. We have, however, because of management considerations, made cuts with respect to those functions in the outlying areas. We are now going to expect that that load will be carried by our Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau Human Services sections, in addition to the load being currently carried. And we're also going to have to be counting on DAs to the extent necessary to pick up the emergency cases that can't be handled otherwise. General Cole asked me to point out what these four communities are again. Please. Ketchikan, Nome, Bethel, and Kenai. We would also make cuts.
What was that last one?
Somewhere in South Central.
And these would be cuts of the district attorney's office?
We haven't, Mr. Chairman, we haven't gotten there yet. We have a separate chart to show you where we'd make cuts there as well.
Mr. Chairman?
That we could follow.
Representative Larson.
Yeah. Are any of those proposed cuts, are they vacant now, any of them?
This position is vacant right now, Mr. Chairman. That is the only one that's vacant on this job.
Thank you.
Representative Mackey. Just so I could understand, these 18 new positions that I referenced earlier, those show on the chart, I mean, those have been added in, and then now we're taking people out, right?
All the attorney positions are reflected on the chart, not the secretarial support staff.
So those positions that are reflected on the chart are not real human beings that are out there yet because they haven't been approved, so they haven't been filled.
No.
So we're talking about real people that are getting cut here, and there's a bunch of empty positions that are new positions.
Mr. Chairman, there are real people. As an example, this position right here, which shows as a box that you're going to be asked to approve, is one that was filled. Now, if we're not funded,
on that point, can we just have him to reiterate, did he say the one he's going to ask us to approve has been filled?
Supplemental, I assume.
Is that what you said?
Mr. Chairman, the department is able, through the budgetary process, if positions exist, to have them filled if we have the funding through the fiscal year. If it is not filled, Mr. Chairman, or money is not appropriated by this committee, this position and that person in place will be terminated effective July
1.
Now, let's talk about the $15.5 million supplemental that's online in the Senate. Are these positions in there already?
Mr. Chairman, the supplemental dealing with oil and gas does not affect any of these positions at all.
Okay.
It is all aimed exclusively for paying outside counsel and outside consultants, expert witnesses, and the like.
Red flag or something?
Phillips. Representative Phillips.
I'm following up back actually to Jerry's question, but I'm going to rephrase the question. What you have there on your chart, is that the FY92 budget?
This is reflects the FY93. Again, if you were...
All right. Is that clear?
Yeah, I thought I got the answer that you did put all those positions in that you've got in the new budget, but then now you're taking positions out. I guess I understand the answer.
So this is FY93 as proposed by the governor.
Mr. Chairman, again, if members of the committee were able to be up close, you would see both 92 and 93 reflected.
I'll move closer.
Here, yes. If you'd like to move closer, or I can move closer.
Let's join hands, right?
But, again, well, what you're not, the important thing to point out.
Well, Bruce, let me ask this question then. Okay, how many positions are there with that chart? Is FY 92 in total numbers?
Again, let me try another answer, which I hope will answer your question.
Okay,
that is
go
to
ahead.
Say, of the blue boxes, the only ones we're allowed to cut, there is only one blue box up here. That is a new position. All the places you see new positions, if you look here, the little perforated lines, are positions that are funded from other sources. So we're talking about real positions, and we're talking about positions that are filled right now and where we'd make those cuts.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, to continue, we would also cut the Fair Business Practices section, except for two positions, actually three, and those are specifically related to the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. The judgment here is simply this. While this is a very popular program, it is one of the few areas in the functions we perform that you as legislators have authorized individuals in the public to act as private attorneys general, either in the antitrust statutes or consumer protection statutes. People have the right to file their own actions in state court. And for that reason, we would also, were we to make the cuts that you are asking us to make, that's where we'd make them in addition. We have identified, again, cuts in natural resources we'd make, and in Fairbanks we would eliminate two positions. The commercial section there, we would turn to the Anchorage commercial sections to cover, and we would cut one natural resources position in Fairbanks, and again, expect that work to be handled out of the Anchorage office to the extent that the work could not be redistributed to attorneys in the Fairbanks section. This is the civil division.
Third criminal.
Cuts in the criminal division. I think Attorney General Cole made clear last night that the focus of our cuts would be largely with respect to treatment of misdemeanors.
I don't think I'm getting my questions answered, so let me try again. Okay, let's try that section there. What you got? When you say cuts, are you saying cuts from FY93 or cuts from FY92?
This chart reflects the positions in FY93, but that is how many positions over FY92?
That is actually one position.
Less.
It's actually the same.
That's from 93
to 92. You told us that we had seven
dress
at the last meeting?
We indicated, Mr. Chairman, if I correctly heard the question, we would be required, in terms of vacancy factor, to leave seven positions vacant through the course of attrition, or the equivalent of that, during the course of the year. And this cut reflects both the vacancy factor and positions we would have to be asked to cut, again, towards meeting the goal that you set for us this afternoon. And again, we have done, first of all, as made clear yesterday, our focus would be primarily in reducing efforts in the misdemeanor area. And the second concern that Attorney General Cole had was to make sure that the cuts were fairly spread around the state so that no one area was disproportionately devoid of legal services. And that is reflected here. There would be two cuts in the First Judicial District. The Sitka office would have to be handled, as it has occasionally in the past, by the Juneau DA's office. One of two positions in Ketchikan would be eliminated. The Second Judicial District, which includes only two attorneys, would be left intact. The Fourth Judicial District, Fairbanks and Barrow, would have two attorneys in the misdemeanor area eliminated. Our criminal justice litigation, which means services primarily to the Department of Corrections, would lose one position. This position is currently vacant, and just recently so, within the last month. But we would leave that one vacant. Our special prosecutions and appeals, OSPA, we would cut two attorneys in the appeals section of that unit. And with respect to the third judicial district, we would eliminate in each of these offices, Palmer, Kenai, and Bethel, one deputy DA. And in Anchorage, we would eliminate five deputy DAs, primarily but not exclusively in the misdemeanor unit. And I would identify this box right here as the second position currently vacant in the criminal division. Mr. Chairman, this is an overview of the areas we would make cuts in satisfying, again, your directive to us this afternoon about the magnitude we'd be looking at. I would point out that we have another alternative to present to you, at least for your consideration, that does not deal expressly with this area. In years past, in terms of the Amirati-Hess litigation, we have, in the last 3 years, you as a body have apportioned the expenses of that case, one quarter permanent fund source and three quarters general fund source. The years previous to that time, that money was paid, or the litigation efforts were paid exclusively by the general fund, though the permanent fund will ultimately benefit again, as it has up to now, with one-fourth of everything won in the Amirati-Hess case. We have gone back to take a look at the overall costs, were it apportioned out from day one, and if there were a true-up today, that amount from the permanent fund would be about $5.6 million. We simply offer that according to your directive that we provide you different scenarios. We have no recommendation on the other.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. Of these 15 X's on this chart, how many of those are the vacant positions, the seven vacant positions that you talked about last night?
They,
in other words, the ones that would be required or that you're proposing to take under the governor's FY93 budget?
Mr. Chairman, those are incorporated into the 15 here. The seven positions are, again, what comes as a result of turnover, having to hold positions vacant. We don't identify particular, we have two positions that are currently vacant. We do have turnover during the course of the year. But the
okay,
seven.
So you're really proposing to cut eight positions and leave seven of them open and vacant?
Well, again, Mr. Chairman, as Representative Brown, I think, has been aware, it's not that you would have any given seven kept vacant. To the extent possible, you aim to, you expect some turnover. So it won't be seven specific vacancies necessarily. It might be spread over 14 different positions or over the entire division. There is turnover in the division, and that's some of these will definitely be held vacant the entire period. Others will not be.
Would you cut all those positions and then hold seven positions vacant?
No, Mr. Mr. Chairman, I say no. I think that's a strategy we really haven't discussed internally.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since January, have you hired, in addition to those 728 people?
Mr. Chairman, we have hired individuals into the department since January into positions that were authorized and budgeted. Yes.
28? You had 35 empty positions in January.
Mr. Chairman, my recollection is in terms of numbers of employees on the civil division since January, we have probably hired seven or eight lawyers. I don't know, on the criminal division, Dean? Yes. Mr. Chairman, General Cole is simply pointing out that in most instances, those have been people replacing others who have retired or left the agency. Most people don't retire in the Department of Law, but who have left the agency to go into other practices. But I think, again, Mr. Chairman, Representative Barnes' question, I'm not sure I can answer directly. I don't know the answer.
You can get the information for me.
I'd be delighted to do that, Mr. Chairman.
That's a whole list now you've got, right? About this
that's
long?
That's question number 11, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
The impacts that we'll see as a result of these reductions, how do we mitigate them? Do you have any suggestions for how to minimize the impact?
Mr. Chairman, in the criminal division, as an example, and an issue I think raised by implication and questions by one or more representatives, the fact that we have certain communities in the state which have voluntarily undertaken their own prosecution of offenses occurring within their boundaries. It's not that practice has clearly been the case in Anchorage and Juneau. My recollection is Sitka also does its own prosecutions. One possible avenue is a requirement that municipalities beyond a certain size be expected to carry their own prosecutions of certain types of state offenses or parallel offenses that occur in their jurisdictions. That would be one way.
Another question I have is with the addition of, if we funded the FY93 budget at your request, by adding in-house attorneys, or since we've been adding in-house attorneys, I think, does that reduce the amount that we have to contract for?
Mr. Chairman, I think the answer is yes. And again, two specific areas that I'm most familiar with are in the area of special litigation, that is our tort section. For every lawyer you're putting into the department, you're not turning to outside counsel to handle any number of cases. The cost of running an attorney in our department is substantially cheaper than outside counsel for the same result.
Same experience level?
Yes. Again, virtually almost every attorney working in our special litigation section, attorney with 8 to 10 years experience, most of those attorneys have come as experienced prosecutors. They don't necessarily have a lot of civil, when they first come to the section, have a lot of civil division experience. They have an incredibly high amount of jury trial experience, which is what all these cases are about. So we're getting good quality people in there.
Representative Mackey.
Yeah, I guess I kind of guess I figured out what's going on with these new positions. You've taken the 18 positions and applied them all, and then you've gone in and took a look at what are priorities and what are not priorities, which I'm not going to second guess. But you've taken out, I guess it's a combination of putting some in and taking some out in order to achieve the cuts that we've asked you to make. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, I think a fair characterization of the process. The only limitation that we've been boxed in, we might make cuts in other areas if you simply said, we don't like the size of the Department of Law and we want X number of attorneys gone. By the exercise we go through, we're required to focus on that portion of the department that's general funded, not looking at other areas where we might make reductions. Although it might not make a lot of sense fiscally, since as in the transportation section, we're going to get 100% funding from the federal Department of Transportation. In any case, okay. There may be areas we would cut, but they're not general fund areas.
Okay. Thank you for your presentation. You can give further information to the subcommittees.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Department of Public Safety next, Commissioner Birch.
Well, whoever provides the Attorney General, man. Yeah, that's later. That was 30 days now.
They have We don't have as many charts, but ours are bigger.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
At least we can read those
charters. Mr. Chairman, I think you have sort of a capsulized sheet of things that we put down here. And I think, you know, it's kind of a good idea to follow Attorney General's poll lead, probably, for me to let Mr. Bischoff, who's the person we work with, put this together. I'm here to answer any questions of policy, but we put together a combination of where we think that we would offer for cuts and places that we've suggested, places to maybe set offset raising some revenues, which I realize that we're all going to have to take a look at. Tim, you want to explain this? Which one is it, the brown one?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Ken Bischoff, Director of Admin Services for the Department of Public Safety. The cut sheet you have before you is strictly to propose items to meet the 5.3 reduction target, which will be a mixture of discussion items to cut general funds and raise revenue. There are two columns on the sheet. I believe the thrust here will probably bring to light the issues of what should be a state responsibility versus local responsibility. There are a number of constituencies here. These are not easy issues. But we bring them to the table for your review, and we can just take them one at a time if that's your preference. Item one is to make sure this body is aware of HB 350, which would require the three locations, Hillside, Wasilla, and Juneau, to maintain complete police coverage in their areas. The Hillside area in particular has been an issue every year. If this bill passed, this would deal with that issue. Item two, SB 221 would require cities of a certain size to operate a jail. What this would do for public safety, if nothing else changed, would at least put us in an improved bargaining position with the cities to negotiate a contract. Right now, they don't have to operate a jail. We reimburse them for the costs. We believe we could write tighter contracts if this were passed. Item three, a more significant step would be to have the locals consider having local government be responsible for their own prisoners, whether they're state charged.